राम राम हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Thank you again for coming. My name is Prahladananda Swami, and I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, rather than the way we'd like it to be. So this is text number, contents of the Gita summarized, text number 62. Dhyayato vishyam pumsam sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodo bijayate. Śrīla Prabhupāda's translation and his purport. While contemplating the objects of the senses, person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger arises. Purport. One who is not Krishna conscious is subjected to material desires while contemplating the objects of the senses. The senses require real engagement. If they not engage in the transcendent loving service of the Lord, they will certainly seek engagement in the service of materialism. In the material world, everyone, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, to say nothing of other demigods in the heavenly planets, is subjected to the influence of sense objects. And the only method to get out of this puzzle of material existence is to become Krishna conscious. Lord Shiva was deep in meditation. But when Parvati agitated him for sense pleasure, he agreed to the proposal, and as a result, Kartikeya was born. When Haridas Thakur was a young devotee of the Lord, he was similarly allured by the incarnation of Maya Devi, but Haridas easily passed the test because of his unalloyed devotion to Lord Krishna. As illustrated in the above-mentioned verse of Sri Jamunacharya, a sincere devotee of the Lord shuns all material sense enjoyment due to his higher taste for spiritual enjoyment in the association of the Lord. That is the secret of success. One who is not therefore in Krishna consciousness, however powerful he may be in controlling the senses by artificial repression, is sure ultimately to fail, for the slightest thought of sense pleasure will agitate him to gratify his desires. So the text again. Dhyayato vishyan pumsam sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodo bijayate. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment lust develops, and from lust anger arises. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sadharane. I'll try and repeat what Srivastru has said. He more or less gave a summary of Krishna consciousness. From the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has instructed us or enlightened us the fact that we're not this material body. And he's done it in a way which is quite simple. He said, Deno smita dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dahantara praptir dhiryas tatra namuyati. Practically everyone in our society, if they've been here for a little while, that's the verse that they know. When I first came to the movement, 1968, there was no Bhagavad Gita at that time. All we had was one sheet of paper, which was the translation from Dr. Radhakrishna's Bhagavad Gita. And the only verse that was on it was that particular verse. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth and then to old age, so similarly, the soul will enter into another body at the time of death, a self-realized soul is not bewildered by such changes. In other words, all of us have the experience of being in many different bodies. We've had a baby body, we've had a 15-year-old body, we have this body, and as long as we're in the body will continue to change to an older body, and the final change is called death. But we ourselves, we're within the body, we actually have not changed. What we're aware of is changing. So that means that what we're aware of is something that's different from ourselves. What we're not aware of is ourselves very much. So Bhagavad Gita is actually meant to help us become aware of our real self. Now the question may be, how is it that if we are spiritual souls, why is it that we're not aware of it? So here it explains that we're not spiritual souls because we're covered by the influence of the illusory energy, and how the illusory energy works is explained herein. Namely, although we're very tiny souls, we've decided to be something that we're not in the material world. It is said, I mean, it's embarrassing to say, but we're only 1/10,000th the size of the tip of hair in size. So if you want to be humble, just think about your size. Act your size. And even if you were 1/5,000th size that compare in size, twice as big as everyone else, there's nothing to be proud of. In any case, this little tiny soul, ourselves, we've decided to become the big soul. But unfortunately, the little soul can't grow very much. We're always about the same, insignificant. But we wanted to pretend, and therefore Krishna has given us this world where it's like a virtual reality. And in this virtual reality, there are many different experiences we can have. We can have a virtual reality of sleeping, where we can imagine we have a body temporarily. And then we wake up, and now we're daydreaming that we have this body. The difference is that our night body lasts for only a relatively brief period of time. And then we wake up and we have this daydream. Which also, from the point of view of eternity, is only a very brief period of time. Just like, for instance, if I gave someone here $100 million, it's not worth very much nowadays, but relatively speaking, it would be quite a nice gift. But if I told them they could only have it for 100 millionth of a second, would they appreciate it very much? Oh, you're so kind, giving me $100 million. Unfortunately, it's not very long. But what is 100 years compared to eternity? It's even less significant than 100 millionth of a second. Similarly, whatever we think we have here in this daydream, whatever we think we've accomplished or accumulate, whatever we think is our position, still it's relatively insignificant because it only lasts for a very insignificant amount of time. But we're imagining that it's something very important going on here. And here explains why, that as soon as we forget Krishna, then at once we become entangled in the material nature. And that forgetting Krishna means we look around for something to enjoy because our nature is joyful. No one is looking around for unhappiness, although unhappiness is looking around for each one of us. But no one is spending their time contemplating, where can I find unhappiness? Oh, there is a nice pit of snakes, let me jump in and suffer. Now everyone is looking around trying to figure out where we can enjoy. Come and enjoy, come and enjoy, come and enjoy. That's the message of Maya. Every billboard is come and enjoy. And as soon as we get this idea of enjoyment, That means we forget. How do we forget? Because the illusory energy develops within us the urge to enjoy. As soon as we forget Krishna, as soon as we look around and don't see Krishna, as soon as we don't experience Krishna, then at once we look around for something to enjoy, and then material nature gives us the impetus, the urge to enjoy, and that's called kaam, or lust. And in some way or another, we can satisfy our senses, eat something that we can enjoy, smell something that smells nice, hear something that satisfies us, etc. Then we become greedy for more. If there is a nice sweet, or here there is this potato chip company, I bet you can't eat just one. As soon as you eat one, of course they put a lot of salt on it, so it may not be voluntary. But then you want more and more and more and more and more. So that's called greed. We become more and more greedy. And then, as soon as we can satisfy our greed, either we don't have any money to buy any more potato chips, or there's no more room left in our expanded stomach and in the ocean potato chips that are down there, then we become frustrated and angry, especially if we watch someone else eating potato chips. And the result is Krishna will go on. Then we become deluded. We create a whole story why I'm a victim. And we want everyone to lament for us, we tell our friends, someone stole my bag of potato chips, and let's cry together because we're friends. We create a whole scenery how I was unfair, I'm a nice person, but it happened to me, no one knows why, maybe God doesn't like my face or whatever. And then we forget actually what really happened. What the real story is behind how we became entangled in simply trying to endlessly gratify our senses at any cost, at any price, without any intelligence behind it. We forget what the real story is, and we lose our real perspective on things, our real intelligence. And then we simply go on, punak punas charvita, charvananam, simply doing the same thing over and over and over again, thinking that we're making progress. Of course, it all sounds like common sense, but as I said before, common sense is very uncommon in this age. Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention. First of all, we have to try to put our attention on something that we will believe will satisfy us, that will make us happy. Therefore, the idea is that if we are spiritual souls, we want happiness which will be spiritual. And the Hare Krishna mantra is spiritual. Therefore, if we put our attention in the Hare Krishna mantra, the result is we'll experience something different than if we allow our attention to go somewhere else. Generally, the problem is when we're chanting, is our mind, not only the soul becomes enlivened sometimes, but the mind becomes enlivened. Generally, we're in the mode of ignorance, that we're not even aware of what our mind is doing, how it's sending us all over the universe within 15 seconds. We're not even aware of our mind. But as soon as we start chanting Hare Krishna and we become a little bit advanced, then we become aware of our mind and then we follow it all over the universe in full consciousness. Everyone starts looking beautiful. Everything looks like it could actually make me happy in the material world. And we become attached as soon as we chant Hare Krishna. It's just like during spring cleaning, during the winter, you're sweeping all the dust underneath the rug, and then comes time for the spring, and you lift up the rug, and all the dust flies out. It's not that you're cleaning, and therefore you're making the room dusty. But as soon as you start cleaning, the dust may appear. Similarly, when we start the process of purification, our mind starts bringing up all our attachments. And if we don't listen to if we become attached to our mind, then it's always coming up again and again and again and again. The same thing. Boo. You're trying to chant Hare Krishna. You shouldn't do that. Boo. No, don't say that. Boo. So then we think, well, my mind is disturbing me when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. But actually, it's not our mind that's disturbing us. It's that we want to be disturbed because we're not paying attention to the Hare Krishna mantra. It's just like if you have a tree and you run up to the tree and grab the tree and start shouting out, "Let me go, let me go." And someone walks along and says, "My dear sir, the tree is not holding on to you. You're holding on to the tree." "Oh, you and your philosophy. Get me off the tree." Next you'll quote Bhagavad Gita or something. "No, sir, just let go of the tree. The tree's not holding on." "No, leave me alone. I'm suffering. The tree won't let me go." So similarly, as soon as we try to make some advance in chanting Hare Krishna or devotional service, the mind will immediately say, "Are you sure? She wasn't so bad. There were good moments too, remember?" "Why are you trying to be artificially renounced? It won't last, and you know it. You just want to be better than everyone else. You never appreciated me." So Maya will try and trick us, yogas chalati manasa. Maya will try to trick the practitioner by so many allurements, and the neophyte devotee who's not so much conscious of Krishna, who hasn't really experienced, at least for a consistent amount of time, the transcendental pleasure of associating with Krishna, easily becomes distracted by whatever the mind brings up. And then the whole process follows lust. "Oh, let me look at that picture. I'll enjoy it, and there'll be no lust because I'm pure. I've been chanting Hare Krishna, so therefore Krishna will protect me even though I'm trying to enjoy." No, but then lust arises, and then greed, and then frustration. "Why is it happening to me?" Well, why isn't it happening to you? It happens to everyone else. Why not to you? And then bewilderment, and then we forget, and we're a victim. "I'm a nice person. Why does it happen to me?" Just like Two-Gun Pete, if you read this book called, well, I only mentioned the book. Anyhow, there's a story about Two-Gun Pete. He was famous because he used to shoot his victims with two guns. Typical Chicago gangster with a big false ego. One day he was on Lover's Lane with his girlfriend having his Leela, and one unfortunate policeman walked by and put his flashlight, shone his flashlight right into the car. Maha Aparad. So good Two-Gun Pete, in order to correct this offense, took his gun and shot the policeman. In order to protect his reputation, he took the policeman's gun and shot him again. Needless to say, the other policemen in the area didn't appreciate Two-Gun Pete's Leela, and therefore they pursued him into a house where there's a shootout. And before his demise, Two-Gun Pete wrote a letter to his mother, and he said, "My mom, dear mom, I'm actually a nice person. People just don't understand me. Please take the cat out. Your son, Petey." So everyone, even the most hardened criminal, thinks they're a nice person. and that whatever they're doing somehow or another is justified. Because this is the covering power of the illusory energy. And only if we focus our mind upon Krishna, if we chant Hare Krishna with some enthusiasm, because after all, if we're not the body, then if we have enough intelligence, we can utilize the body in so many different ways. We can utilize it to chant in such a way as to chant as if we were morose. Oh, Hare Krishna, oh, what a heavy duty I have now. I got to chant Hare Krishna. I wish I could, you know, it's time. Everyone else is eating prasad, and I'm sitting here chanting these useless words. But I got to do it or else it's embarrassing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Rama. So we can do it, or we can do, I got to get it done. Hare Krishna, Ram 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 Ram, Hey Ram Ram Ram, Hey Ram Ram Ram, Snick Snick Ram Ram, Kitty Kitty Ram Ram Ram, Day 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 Ram. That was good. So we can be in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, or we can chant in the mode of goodness. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or if we become further purified, we can chant with some feeling, actually call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And actually expect something nice to happen. Not, it's going to be the whole, same old, we sit down, we chant, or we're chanting Kira. It's going to be the same old thing. It happens every time. Nothing happens. So we think nothing happens, then poor Krishna, how is he going to make anything happen and disappoint us? Why will God reveal himself to us if we're sure he's not going to be there? No, we expect that if we chant nicely, Krishna will reciprocate. And nicely means at least we would chant in a happy mood. Happy mood means, material world means always hankering for what we don't have. Always an anxiety what's going to happen in the future. Whether we're going to be successful, whether people will love us, whether we'll get what we want, whether I'm going to grow old. When I'm old, how, you know, people will protect my body. Will they love it too when it's old? You know, now I'm 20, I'm worried about what's going to happen when I'm 93. I got to make plans now. And lament, oh, it's been 23 years and I'm still not happy because my school teacher didn't give me an A on my report card. So we're always hankering, we're always lamenting, and we're never in the present. Because there's nothing here to actually be conscious of, unless we're actually trying to become conscious of Krishna. And then all this worrying about the future, all this unhappiness about what happened in the past, all the desire to change history, to make it conform to my thoughts and my desires, it has no meaning if we're not the body. We were never part of history, in the sense that the history of the material world means simply the changing of the material energy. Earth changing to another form of earth, fire changing to another form of fire. It's just material nature changing, but we ourselves as soul have never changed. We may have been thought we were a king, or thought we were a dog, or thought we were a mosquito, but we were never any of those things. It was just our imagination. Material nature means a very vivid, multi-dimensional imagination created by the Supreme Person who's created the greatest three-dimensional virtual reality. But if we really want to get into the real reality, if we want to experience that, then we should understand that I am eternal, so I have every reason to be happy because I'm not going to die when the body dies. And my nature is to be blissful if I come in contact with the Supreme Person, which is easily possible in this age by happily chanting Hare Krishna. chanting to Krishna and actually wanting him to be there. So I can, and Krishna is there because Krishna has only one activity, that is exchanging loving feelings with his devotees. So if I'm willing to exchange loving feelings with Krishna, then he's happy to be there. And it just requires a little bit of understanding. It doesn't require memorizing hundreds or thousands of verses. It doesn't require great intelligence and wealth and whatever. It simply requires a little acceptance of reality and then just trying to be happy. Most children, they know how to do that, although they may not know Krishna, but we should try to learn how to do that too. At least understand why we should not be so much attached to these mental conceptions that we have, which are all based upon illusion. So Bhagavad Gita will explain that to us, and if we study Bhagavad Gita regularly, then gradually we may accept some of it, and if we accept it, then another phase of reality will be revealed to us, and our lives will become progressive, and ultimately we'll make progress towards the supreme goal, where we can be naturally happy forever without any endeavor. Just that's our nature. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? What time is prasadam? That's a good question. What's that? Oh, in the lecture ends. Okay, we won't torture you. Grantarai Shimad, thank you very much. Grantarai Shimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.